Welcome once again to Podcast of the Woods. As always, I am your host, Boomer, and joining me is the wonderful and amazing Gabby. Gabby, how are you doing this evening?
Fucking fab. How are you, friend?
I am doing fantastic.
Yay.
I am just a little bit inebriated, and it is because every time that I watch this film, and I've seen it a few times since then, not very often because I don't often return to it.
Since when? What do you mean? Are you that inebriated? You're just starting in the middle of the fucking story. You're like, I'm a little bit inebriated. And this film that we're talking about, ever since then, I just find... What? No. Boomer likes whiskey.
Apparently I do. And yes, I apparently was in the
P.O.
middle of
Box podcast in the woods. Everybody send a bottle. He needs it.
That would be amazing, actually. But yes, okay. So we are talking about one of your picks, and yeah, there have been times in the past that I have watched this, but normally I do drink when watching this film that we're going to be talking about this evening. But
thanks for clarifying 20 minutes later.
I don't know. This is bad. This is so bad.
Oh no, stop. I listened to our Ian episode. Don't let me cackle. No more. No more laughing. I can't laugh. You can't make that face and make me, that's a laughing face. That's a face that makes me laugh. Stop.
Okay. No more laughing. No more laughing for this episode.
I'm a news anchor. Good evening.
We are talking.
Podcast in the woods.
Exactly. Yeah, we're very serious.
On WC17. I want to play a game with you.
I love that.
Now, over to Al on the weather.
Al. All right, so we are...
Like Al Roker, he was so lovable. I think he has cancer, though. Ooh, sorry, Al. Love you.
That's terrible. We are talking about 2004's Saw, which apparently have to be drinking while watching or talking about. But this was a Gabby pick. And normally, our better... more well-received horror films are chosen by you, and normally our shit films are chosen by me.
I have better taste than you. No cackles! Stop it. Oh, sorry.
Well, except for our last episode, Hellraiser 2, which is a masterpiece. No, it's really not. But that
except
was a lot.
That is literally Ian DeVogler. Hero among heroes, like telling us his opinions on things that we need to soak in and like enjoy. And then I'm just like, meh, 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 meh. No, I don't like it. But that doesn't matter. Why?
You did pick this. So why did you choose? Why did you choose Saw?
Because I really do believe that the original Saw is a classic. I think that when it was released, it was an instant classic. It wasn't a cult hit. It wasn't a, you know, it was when the original Saw came out, it was different from everything that we were seeing at the time and everything that we had seen for a really long time. I'm sure that if we go through the archives and we look at, you know, your favorite decade was the 70s and my favorite decade was the 80s. And then of course we entered the cesspool that was the 90s of bullshit. Sorry, Scream, Matthew Lillard. Hi, I love you. Please come on our show. Skeet Ulrich, I'm really sorry again. But we went through this really long, long, long period as horror fans of just garbage. And along came Saw, and it was just like, this is what it's about, you know? And it was just, it was so good. And I think that the latest generation of the twist ending, even 20 years later, started with Saw. This is one of the best twist endings that anybody will ever see. And I actually include that as my favorite movie of the aughts was Identity, which is the greatest fucking twist ending I've ever seen in my life. But I can see where people could predict the twist ending of Identity. Nobody could have predicted the twist ending of Saw. And so this was a holy shit horror movie. We don't get those very often. Saw did it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
I know.
And
No cackling.
am notorious for shitting all over the Saw franchise. But what I will
Both
say
of us.
is, I do agree with you that this is a seminal film in the horror realm. Now, do I think that this is a perfect film? I don't, and we're gonna get all into that. But
No.
let me say, you always are good to say, hey, spoiler alert. So I will do it this time. Spoiler alert, because yes, this does have one of the best endings in horror history. So
Ah, preach.
if you are new to the Saw franchise, if you have never seen the original Saw, please stop the recording right now. Go watch,
Now,
Saw,
bitch.
and then come back and listen to the episode, because we are going to be spoiling 2004 Saw. And if you've never seen it, you do not want this ending spoiled for you.
Seriously, bitch, stop.
I agree with you. Like, this is kind of a modern classic in the horror genre. And I do want to ask though. Like, I absolutely love James Wan. I really enjoyed this when it came out. Of course, I love Malignant. Malignant is one of my favorite films.
You're so foolish. Fuck Malignant. Anyway.
But what do you think about James Wan off the back of this, off the back of Conjuring, kind of what he has done in the Wanaverse for horror?
Okay, first of all, I love that you call it the Wannaverse. It makes me want a Whataburger. James Wan, I think he. Here's my theory on James Wan. And James Wan, if you ever listen to this, I apologize. You never will, so it doesn't matter. But my theory on James Wan is he was a film school student. He wanted to do horror. Good for you, James Wan. He made this out of a very original idea. And it was like fucking mind blowing. Like everybody's brains leaked out of their ears the first time they watched this movie because they were like, what the fuck? And so he took that cred, that street cred that he earned from this film. And yes, The Conjuring, and yes, all of the other bullshit, whatever. I don't give a fuck. He made himself into what John Carpenter and Wes Craven would have been back in the day had they done it just for the money. And I'm not saying, James Wan, that you did it all for the money. My opinion of James Wan is sellout. I apologize if anybody's offended by that. And also, as a very, very broke ass, poor ass single mother, if I came up with an idea, I'd make as much fucking money as I could off of it. I'm not mad at you for that. I'm just saying that's my opinion on you. You don't care. You care about your next paycheck. Get a new pool, bitch. I'm not mad at you. Add a second guest house. Nobody's pissed off about that. I'm not mad about it. It's just my opinion. That's all I'm saying. You started out very bright-eyed, very motivated. I'm gonna change the fucking face of horror. And then you were like, oh, I just made a shit ton of money. What else can I do to make a shit ton of money?
Aquaman. I'm a little bit higher on Of course, James Wan than you are. Now, I don't like where the Saw franchise went, but however, James Wan didn't direct those sequels. I also loved Malignant. I loved that
This
film.
is fucking stupid. I'm glad you liked it.
Loved Malignant. So I get it. Like I appreciate like your opinion and like where you come down on him. I'm a little bit higher on him, but we are talking about the film that he started with, the one that, like you said, like really reinvigorated part of the horror genre. We're coming out of the 90s where it was so tame and it was so polished and nobody wanted to use the word horror. Everything kind of was what was it? Thriller. Everything was a thriller in the 90s. Nobody wanted to use that terrible word horror. And then we got into the 2000s and James Wan's like, no, fuck it. This is straight horror. So do you remember like the marketing campaign of Saw, like, did you see the previews of this movie, like when they were when it was coming out?
Of course. Of course. I think that anybody our age, apologies to our younger listeners, we are of a certain age. Of course I do. You know, it was one thing that, you know, and you said it in the 90s and the early aughts, it was everybody who did horror were big names. And they were kind of trying to flip the genre on all of us. And they were trying to
Sanitize it, really.
artisticize and sanitize our genre. So you had Julia Roberts, Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, fucking all of these giants of the 90s, Willem Dafoe, you know, doing these huge. Gary Oldman, Keanu Reeves, Winona Ryder, they were all doing these huge horror stories, but what they were doing was they were taking these horror stories and they were, you know, reinventing them as something that could build a demo reel and build Academy respect. Jodie Foster, Anthony Hopkins, Silence of the Lambs, Thank You and Good Night. I mean, like, that is the prime example of what 90s horror was about, was just, you know, we don't give a fuck about horror. What we give a fuck about is getting big names to make big money, and we're going to call it horror, but it's not necessarily scary. And so then we came into the aughts, and I think that James Wan really did this thing that he was like, you know what? I'm taking it back. I'm taking horror back. And he did, but he did it in such a genius way that it was still very psychological. It was very thriller-esque. But it was straight horror. When you saw that, you know, spoiler alert again, you guys, if you haven't seen it yet, why haven't you, if you're listening to us, that body horror of the ankle at the end that he said, I'm gonna fucking fix this. And so, as far as how I feel about James Wan, I think he's a sellout. Sorry, not sorry, good night. But damn if he didn't fucking fix it. When you say fix it, Jesus, apparently Jesus is James Wan. Fix it, James Wan.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. They're like I said, and you said, reinvigorated this genre. And I remember as well when the trailer started coming out for this film, and it has Danny Glover in it, you know, and we remember Danny Glover from like Lethal Weapon and Predator 2, and you know, some of
And
these
in this movie, he is still too old for this shit.
too old for this shit. He's really too old for this shit in this movie, but we remember
Danny
it
Glover,
like,
I love you.
yeah, Danny Glover is an amazing, he's an amazing actor. And like I remember when this trailer dropped, and I'm like, holy shit, this is going to be incredible. Like I was sold on this film, and I was gonna be there opening night, which brings me right to, of course, our next question, which we always ask. So this is your film. What was your first time watch with Saw like?
Shout out to our patron, Christina J. My first watch was with her. She was still at Shippensburg, and that's a college, and it's a town about 2.5 hours from where we grew up, and I'm still where we grew up. And so she would come home on weekends, and we would go to Selins Grove because their movie theater played better movies than our theater played. And they played a lot more horror because that wasn't mainstream back in the day. Can you imagine, young listeners? Anyway, so we had a favorite diner. And so on Sunday nights, we would drive the 45 minutes to the theater in Selins Grove and we would watch these horror movies. And so it was a Sunday night. It was a, you know, we were 22 or 21 or 22. So of course, we could be up all night. So we didn't go to the 4, 7 o'clock showing. We went to the fucking 10 o'clock showing. And there were like four other people in the theater. And we were both so fucking excited for this, you know? And it was one of the best theater first watch experiences that I've ever had with a film because, you know, you watch this and you're watching all of this unfold. And in the very beginning, they acknowledged that there is a fucking dead man in the middle of the floor and he fucking shot himself in the head and there's brains and blood and probably poop and pee because that's what happens with a traumatic death and you're in a bathroom and so there's also toilet smells and sink smells and bathtub smells and so you're thinking that in your head. But that doesn't matter. What matters is like you're trying to like you guys figure it out. You only have so much time left. You have to get this. You have to get it. His fucking family's gonna die, and this fucking asshole that takes pictures is a dick. And but we still don't want him to die. I mean, like this was back in the day when you didn't want people to die. I mean, that's another thing that this movie has really invented for the new generation is like rooting for protagonists to die. This was one of the very first movies that I ever saw that the main characters were so fucking shitty that I was like, fucking kill them off. I don't give a fuck. Just show me how you do it because it's gonna be good. And you know, you're watching it and you're watching and you're ready and you're ready and you think that you have it figured out and then you know that you don't and then you think that you do and then you know that you don't. And then that fucking twist, spoiler alert again. If you haven't seen this movie, stop listening, please. When he fucking stood up, every fucking one of us in that fucking theater that night stood up. And that was one of the coolest experiences that I ever had. He fucking stood up, and every single one of us got on our feet, and we were like, we didn't clap. It was like we all stood up and we were just like, you did that. I mean, like our arms, like, I mean, we were like fucking horror freedom fighters. Like we had our fists, like we were ready to like do what we had to do for the horror genre. Like we were ready. It was just, that was one of the most organic, unexpected feelings that you could ever have watching a fucking horror movie. It was beautiful. I loved it. I think about it kind of often.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was really long. Sorry.
No, that was amazing. And it rolls like right into mine. And I love that you were in a theater where there were only like four other people, because like I watched this in Pensacola, Florida, and it was a packed theater. Like there was
We were just
not
there.
and I When we always love to interact with our listeners, and it's been like a thing on Twitter, like, hey, what's your best theater experience? And I always go to this one, even though this is not obviously my favorite film, but this was the best experience that I've ever had in a movie theater. Like, I have never had one that was so, like, at the same time respectful and raucous at the same time. So I'm in a crowded theater. Like, there is not a single seat. Now, this is 2004 when everybody was still going to the movies. So I'm sitting there, like, next to people that I don't know. And we're going through the ebb and flows in this movie. And again, yes, we're coming off the 90s, and which was so sanitized. And this one felt so visceral and so real. And yes, when we got to that ending, we'll get right into it, because I mean, we're already stepping right into it. So why not? Let's talk about this ending first. But when we got to that ending, and what happens happens, and the twist happens, everybody in the theater, like 70% of the people, screamed out at the screen, "What the fuck?" And it was so amazing. And we, like, every one of us, like, and me included, like, I literally said, "What the fuck?"
Out loud.
Out loud in the ending of this movie. And then, like it unfolds before you, and you realize what happened, and then you just kind of, like, sit back in awe. And when that fucking door closes at the end, oh my.
Oh, motherfucker.
Okay, so
Are you fucking kidding me?
we haven't even talked about the IMDb, but let's get into this ending.
Get it, get
So
it, get it, get it, get it.
and I forget what the guy's name is, but when Lee Whannell's character, like, all this stuff,
Adam.
yeah, Adam. So when Adam, like, beats the shit, and it was like one of the most visceral moments that I've seen in a film in like 20 years. He, like, takes the top off of the toilet and beats the shit, like, beats this guy's head in. And like, in your theater, you only had like four people, but was everybody in the theater not cheering at that moment?
Oh
And
my God.
then, like, walk us through, like, to what you were feeling in that moment, and then what happened to the end when that door shut and that music just started.
It was, it's almost indescribable. It was so, Lee Whannell cannot act for shit.
No, he
Let's
cannot.
be honest. He is a horrible actor.
He's a terrible actor.
He was very low budgeted cast in this movie,
Sure.
but somehow it worked. Carrie Elwes, fucking Carrie Elwes,
Princess Bride. Everybody loves Carrie Elwes.
this fucking icon of generations can act but couldn't because he was acting off of Lee Whannell,
His
and it
American
was,
accent is bad.
oh, it's bad. But what's worse is, like, I never, until this movie, I didn't realize that if you put a good actor against a bad actor, it cancels each other out. You're both bad and you suck. But even still, I mean, you take the talent level away, you're not even thinking about the fact that Lee Whannell cannot act for fuck, right? You can't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how he can act. You're just going, what? Wait a second. What? What? And you're watching all of this unfold, and it's just like, whoa, holy shit. And it's, it was so amazing to sit in a theater. You saw it with a ton of people. I saw it with very few people. Everybody's having the same reaction as you. And every time you watch a movie, whether you watch it at home or alone, or if you watch it in a crowded auditorium with 300 of your current closest friends, there's a little bit of their reaction that kind of rubs off on you.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah.
Unless it's something that nobody has ever seen before. And this was that. So you're building this tension and this reaction and this fucking suspense, and your whole entire body is reacting, and it was, oh my God, I can't describe it. There's only five of us in there, but God damn it, if we didn't all do it the same. Everything the actors did in every scene, the end of every scene, and this was literally a film school movie. Lee Whannell and James Wan, this was their basically thesis. I think they had been graduated at that point. But again, this, but at the same time, this was their first. This was their thesis. This was their student film. Nobody fucking likes a student film, let's be honest. Get the fuck out of here. Don't fucking release your first fucking movie, you fucking film student assholes. You're too pretentious. Live in the real world for a minute and then fucking do your first film. PSA, love Gabby from Podcast in the Woods. Anyway, this was their student film and it was like, they got it. They got it. They fucking got it. It didn't matter if nobody could act in it. It didn't matter if there were other elements that were not necessary. This entire fucking film could have taken place between Adam and the doctor. What was the fuck? What was Cary Elwes's name? It doesn't matter. It could have taken place with just conversations between the two of them, and it still would have fucking killed. But then you give that fucking backstory. Nobody's acting in this movie was anything above below par. It worked.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. Like James
I
Wan
know.
was like coming into his own as a director, and nobody's performance was great. You have great actors in here. You have, and I don't know how they got these actors, but you have, yeah, Cary Elwes. We've already mentioned they we have Danny Glover in this film. You have Shawnee Smith, and all these are established like names. So I don't know
Shawnee
how.
Smith is not that great.
Well, I mean, she's not, but I mean, she was an established actress at the time.
Right, but you're saying we have Danny Glover, we have Cary Elwes, we have Shawnee Smith.
Well, I'm just saying, like
Shawnee Smith
people.
isn't that great.
No, but I'm saying like people that
He's
would be,
established. Yeah,
yeah,
higher.
like recognized in the industry and stuff. But I mean, yeah, when we're talking about like this ending, and I forget what his name is, Zeke or Zed or whatever. And like looking back, like when you watch this movie back, you're like, how did I ever think that this was the main antagonist of the film? Like this fucking bug-eyed like loser was the ultimate villain in the film. But that's the brilliance of this movie and the writing and like the tension in this film, that you are going along with it and you feel like that, yes, this is the person. So whenever Lee Whannell like pops up, he just like a fucking
I
Mario
said,
character
what?
out of the pipe and just like beats his head in, like beats, and I forget what his name is, Zeke. It starts with a Z. But whenever he
Isn't it
beats.
crazy? Isn't it crazy? Sorry to interrupt. That's the person that you thought on your first watch was the main character.
Yeah, exactly.
And it turns out that fucking 20 years later, you can't even fucking remember him. Who gives a fuck about this fucking asshole?
Yeah,
I mean,
but.
well done, Juan.
Exactly. Yeah. It was so well done. But yeah, like he beats his head in, and then everybody in the theater, everybody was just cheering, like, yeah, they fucking got him. Fuck that guy. And
Yeah.
then John Kramer, the person that you have not paid attention to the entire film, like this dead body in the center of the room, just stands up. And that is the what the fuck moment. That's when you realize that this movie has completely pulled the wool over your eyes, that it has totally fucked you in the ass. And And here it comes. It's
In
fucking
the sexiest possible way,
in
too.
the sexiest, in the sexiest way,
Rubbing your clit at the same time.
giving you that reach around. And here it is. And then the final shot, like I talk about final shots a lot, like Evil Dead 2013 has like this metal has one of the most amazing shots in the blood rain and all this stuff. But that shot, the silhouette of John Kramer in the door before he slams that warehouse door shut, and that movie's and that music starts, da-da-da, 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 da-da-da. I mean,
Best fucking finale music of all time. Sorry, and I apologize if
no,
I'm
go
wrong,
ahead.
but
No, don't
thank
you.
you and good night.
Yeah.
That is the That is get you on your fucking feet music. Are you fucking kidding me? I get loud and fucking emotional about that fucking music. Oh, it makes your whole entire body go like this. You know, that fucking sound when your entire fucking body clenches. Girls, you can't pee. Girls and boys, you can't poop. Everything's closed. It's closed. It's clenched. That's what it is. That music. Oh. This is a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah, I mean it really is. It really is a masterpiece. And not only is it like it's a masterpiece in so many ways, like the sound design in this film, and you don't really notice it until that door just slams shut. And it's like such a finale. It's just
Oh.
like clack. You know, I mean it's so good. Like, and then the credits just roll. It the credits roll rightfully so, you know, at
No,
like
but right before they roll, you get that last shot of Adam who can't act for shit with his fucking hand out.
yeah, it's still horrifying.
And that is
Horrifying.
the moment that you're like, I forgot the rest of the past 90 minutes. That hand extended, help me, help me. You don't give a fuck that he can't act. He can in that moment. And it's so fucking effective. Oh.
Yeah. I mean it's incredible. And I love that we got to that we got to talk. Well, actually, I'm not done talking about this ending because I do have another question about this ending, and then we'll
Good.
get into the IMDb, and then we'll talk some silly stuff because
Do everything.
this movie is pretty campy in its own way. It
Love
is,
it.
yes, exactly. But so our theater experiences were kind of the same, kind of a little bit different though. So I do want to ask because in my experience, because it was so packed. Whenever you know you had all that craziness happen at the end, there was everybody in the theater like did not leave, and we just kind of stood up and we had like conversations with one another, like, "What the fuck did you think about this film?" Like, did you have that same kind of experience to where like the everybody like didn't leave, or you met out in the parking lot like to talk about this movie?
Chrissy and I regretted not inviting people to our diner, our favorite diner. We regretted not inviting the other four people, three people, because we wanted to talk about it further. Chrissy and I have a very sorry, okay. Christina and I, we're old, so we can't call each other nicknames anymore. Her name is Christina. We talked about it later when we were having our bacon cheeseburgers and chocolate shakes at our favorite diner.
Nice.
We should have invited everybody because, yes, everybody, all of us fucking stood up. What the fuck? And we all looked at each other and, you know, we were all kind of concentrated. Semi close to each other, but you know, when you're in an empty theater, you want your favorite part of the theater, you want your favorite seat, but you also don't want to be close to anybody. So, like, Kay and I were up a little bit farther away, And then there were the guys in front of us, and there was the person that was alone in front of them. And so we all were just like, holy shit, are you fucking kidding me? Holy my God. And we all kind of, it wasn't that we all hung out and had a conversation. It was just that we all had to kind of, did you just fucking see that? And oh my God, and oh, did you see that? And of course, I was in the background, like just, you know, being my dork self. There was like, yay! This was amazing. Oh my God, answer me. I'm cheerleading and I'm fucking crazy and I'm fucking freaked out and I'm just fucking, you know, and it was just, and then of course, when all of the adrenaline, like when it kind of, this is a really adrenaline inducing movie. Like this was really like it fucked with you physically. And so after everybody started talking, we kind of started, you know, even without realizing that we were talking each other down, you know, we all kind of started going our separate ways. It was fucking 11:30 on a fucking Sunday night. Like these were grown ass people. We were college students. We could sleep as late as we wanted to. We made our schedules. Like we didn't give a fuck. And we wanted to go and get our bacon cheeseburger and our chocolate shake at our favorite diner. And so, you know, it was probably halfway through our burgers that I looked at Christina and I go, we should have invited them to talk, like to come with us so we could talk about this more. And she was like, I'll never forget looking at her across the table with her mouth full of food. And she just made that sound, that half talk, half my mouth is full. So I'm not gonna make like say a word that she just went, and she nodded. And it was like, yeah, like it was. This is a movie. Again, spoiler alert. God damn it, if you're still in here after all of this,
I mean, we've
if
already
you've
spoiled it. It's
never seen
fine.
this film, this is a movie for anybody who's never seen it to introduce it to a group. This isn't a movie that you introduce it to somebody one-on-one. You want a crowd and you want to make popcorn. Turn the lights out. I mean, I'm never going to say don't drink because obviously, but I'm saying like be semi-sobes and, you know, just have that experience or give somebody else that experience. I cannot wait to show this movie to somebody for the first time, their first time, and just watch their reaction and see it and. You know, because no offense, 2023 and 2024 so far. Why are we back in the aughts? I don't need this bullshit. All of this shit. 2023 sucked. 2023 so far, or 2024 so far, you're not fixing it. Fix it, Jesus. I
Well,
said it. I don't give a fuck.
yeah, I mean, 2023 was good for me. I mean, Talk to Me was fucking a masterpiece, but we're not here to talk about
You
that film.
literally just named one movie.
I mean, there was a lot of movies.
That's how bad it was.
I could name a lot of movies, but I'm not going to because we're talking about Saw. But so this film for me was the exact same thing. Like, we met on the stairs of the theater to talk about this one, and I was right in the middle of that dude bro culture because I was in my early 20s and during this time, and it was like, dude, like, what did you think about this film? It was fucking amazing. So I had such a good time, and we like fucking just hit this shit like crazy. Okay, so we will get into the IMDb finally, because we've talked about the best part of this film, but that's fine. So, Saw in 2004 was written by Lee Whannell and James Wan, directed by James Wan, of course, like we talked about, starring I'm drunk. Carrie Elwes as Dr. Lawrence Gordon, Dr. Glover. Danny Glover. Not Dr. Glover, but Danny Glover as Detective David Tapp, Lee Whannell as Adam, Shawnee Smith as Amanda, and of course, Tobin Bell as John Kramer and Jigsaw.
Slash Jigsaw.
Which brings me to my next point. Like, so what do you think about John Kramer as a character. I mean, he's a horror icon, of course. Like, his voice is iconic. Like, that voice. I love that.
That didn't sound like him at all.
That was perfect. That was spot on. Spot on. 10 out of 10.
Lies. I
But I mean, what do you think about like John Kramer, like as a horror icon and like as the character and philosophy that we get? Like, is he a murderer or not?
you little fucking bitch. People get sick every fucking day. Why are you mad? And you're fucking making fucking traps and doing all this shit. John Kramer, you're a bitch. You had that in your soul your entire fucking life, and then you got diagnosed and you were like, oh, okay, now I can finally just be a dick and just fuck with people and fucking allow people to quote unquote kill themselves, but I'm fucking killing them. Fuck you and your fucking traps, Tobin. Tobin. Fucking Tobin. I'm drunk. Say that shit when you're fucking drunk, Tobin. Say it over and over again, Tobin, Tobin. It doesn't make sense. It's a stupid ass name, and you're a stupid ass asshole, and you make a fucking stupid ass fucking puppet. What's the puppet's name? Not
Billy.
Barry.
No.
Billy.
Barry.
I was thinking of Gary.
Gary. Gary.
Gary,
Gary.
Gary, 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 Gary. I mean, I can't. I mean, it is crazy that the antagonist of this movie, when you sit back and think about it, is just such a fuck you. Oh, ooh. I've had cancer. I didn't fuck with people like that. Get the fuck out of here.
I've got a message for Jigsaw. Go home and die. No, okay. So I will agree that of course Jigsaw is a horror icon at this point, but he's kind of a fucking dick. And I mean, so like, and we will get like into this and you can comment on this, but it's like, I mean, it's basically like, Dan, you've been cheating on your taxes for the last 5 years. So I've glued your hands to the computer. And you know, I mean, it's so ridiculous, like the stuff that he comes up with in this movie.
One hand is on the submit button and the other one is on your calculator. Make your choice.
Dan, you could either cut your nipples off or your browsing history will be released to your family.
You can release my fucking browsing history. I don't give a fuck. That part of it is very early aughts.
No, yeah. I mean, so John is kind of a dick in this. Like, so he judges people for like really weird things, and you're like you're saying, in today's audience, he would be
Just
judging
because you
people.
got lung cancer because you never smoked doesn't mean that you get to punish everybody in your life, bitch. Get a
Right.
grip.
He judges people for like mental health issues. He judges somebody for being a drug addict. He judges people because like he judges the doctor because he wasn't like sympathetic enough. He judges like the Lee Winnell because he was a private investigator. And yeah, if you take this like in today, he would like judge somebody for being an OnlyFans person. Like it's so silly in this
Which,
first
by the
film.
way, hey, John Kramer, you want to fucking blur game with me? Okay. I want to make that OnlyFans. I'm going to make a ton of money. And you can put me in your trap. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to fucking middle finger you.
John is a little bitch in
This
at
bitch.
least in this one. Like in further installments, like
Bitch.
even though that I don't like the films, they make more sense why he's judging people because they do bad shit. In this one though, it's just kind of like silly shit that he's all pissed off about. And so that like kind of brings me to like one of the questions that I wanted to ask, and that was like, what is your favorite trap or scenario in this film? Because Yeah, I think it was like the lawyer or the guy that tries to get out the razor wire because it's so fucking silly.
It's also creepy.
It is creepy, yes.
I think that what really created this franchise and what, people get to five, six, seven, eight, what keeps them coming is the bear trap.
Yeah.
Amanda's trap. I mean, like, that is, as much as I don't love a torture porn, as much as I don't love what this original film spawned, you have to, as an unobjective horror fan, fucking realize and recognize and say out loud, the bear trap in Saw One is one of the most iconic horror images, scenes, or however you want to say it, for all time. Like 49 years from now, there's going to be a new fucking podcast with maybe they're a couple, maybe they're just friends, and maybe they have the journey that we've had, that it doesn't matter. What matters is they're going to see this for the first time and they're going to go, "Holy shit!" And they're going to do what we did the first time that we saw it, that was like, "I've never seen anything like this." That she was put, and we're watching other people being put into these traps and they don't win. They don't pass. They don't, but she does. And that is so fucking different. It's even different from shit that we're seeing now 20 years later. That, like, we're not used to this. We're not used to a character in a horror movie being put into a situation that, like, this is where you die. However, you're not gonna die. What? We're used to, we're used to the protagonist says, "Hello, is someone there?" And they go up the stairs instead of going out the front door. This is what we know, and this is what we see, and this is what we've experienced our entire lives. And this bitch says, "Hello? Oh, I'm not trying to get my fucking jaw ripped off. I'll rip this fucking motherfucker's intestines open." For as much as neither of us are a fan of this franchise, and as much as neither of us really love the horror or torture porn subgenre, to be a film that births an entire subgenre, to be a film that fucking starts a fucking movement? Are you fucking kidding me? Preach. Congrats. Give
I'll
us
give you
that.
that Dracula clap, that's phenomenal. And you're absolutely right. Like, I love how they introduce that reverse bear trap when he shows Shawnee Smith on the monitor how that's gonna rip your fucking face open. And because it's so good, because one of the greatest things about horror is not the stuff that is shown on screen, but the stuff that's in your head. So whenever you get that visual of it, and I can't remember, it's like a fruit or something that it rips open. He shows Shawnee Smith like what's going to
Was
happen if
mannequin head.
a mannequin
It was
head.
styrofoam, I
Okay, there you
think.
go. Mannequin head. Like, what's going to happen? Like, if you don't get this off your head, this is what's going to happen to you. And then it instantly puts that visual into your head, and you're like taken aback, like, oh shit, we're about to see something insane. And then you're right, like it doesn't happen, but it's so fucking great how like much tension that there is in that moment.
But what they do to even ratchet up further that level of tension is they don't give you a beat. They make you, like you said, start to wonder and picture what would happen to you. But then she starts, and one of the most iconic shots of the past 30 years of horror is make your choice. And it immediately shows her in that sped up
Yeah, the spin,
camera of
the
her head
spin.
spinning and nodding and no and yes and no and what do I do? And I'm gonna do it and I'm nodding and I'm frantic and then I'm shaking my head. No, I can't kill somebody, but yes, I can because I want to live. And so that is so fucking this movie, whether or not you like the torture porn or you like what happened, nobody can argue that this is one of the most iconic horror movies. This is not one of those fucking silly horror movies. This is something that shaped us. This is the, we had Blair Witch, and then we had the next major was Saw.
One of the other things, though, that actually, like when you talk about the camp of this film, that kind of makes me laugh
It's so good.
is the one where, in I kind of hinted at it earlier, but the razor wire trap, because, and this is kind of the brilliance of the film, because when I first watched it, I didn't notice it, but when you rewatch it back, they say that this guy has 3 hours. He has 3 fucking hours to get through this razor wire obstacle course. So, like me, I'm like, okay, if I have 3 hours, I'm going to be like this. I'm gonna take this little thing up here, and I'm gonna go here, and then I'm gonna sneak through here, and then I'm gonna go here. But like this motherfucker just like freaks the fuck out in the movie,
Bitch,
and
what
it's just
do you
like,
mean?
and it's just like, wah, 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 wah. He fucking dies. And it's like, there's no fucking purpose for that. Because when I first watched this film, I thought he had maybe like 5 minutes. But no, this motherfucker had 3 hours to get through that shit. And he just fucking eviscerated himself.
Not everybody has experience with fucking razor wire. I mean, like, if somebody told me you have 3 hours to get through this 17-inch length of razor wire, I also would have shredded myself. I wouldn't have known any better. I don't. When you're put into that situation that you are like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. What do? You fucking panic. And I would have understood of a person going through all of that, but I also would have understood a person thinking that they're going to get through that. Like you, it takes thought, it takes time, it takes finger placement and pinching and, you know, move this up, but move that down and move it over and do all of these things. I mean, John Kramer gave that person 3 hours because that is the level of concentration that you need to put yourself through unscathed. You're probably going to slit yourself 7 or 8 times if you've had cocktails and it's 9 o'clock because, hi, we're podcasting in the woods. Goodbye. And people like to drink, and maybe this person did. And so he needed that extra hour. I mean, like, I would need, listen, give me unlimited hours. I could get through a football field's worth of fucking razor wire with six or seven cuts.
I guess that's like part of the benefit of being from the South, because we picked berries through all of the thorns and stuff like that, and we dealt with razor wire, we dealt with barbed wire. So it's like, if John would have put me in this trap, it'd have been like, oh well, this is a fucking hey This is just a normal Sunday afternoon. I mean, I've done this thing for the last 20 years, so here we go. Let's get through it. But I just thought that was that scene was so crazy and so campy, like, but it is effective because, like I said, I didn't even notice it the first time that I watched it. So we'll get into. Like, I mean, we've kind of danced all around and we've talked about a lot of stuff. So we will we'll get into our ratings.
What is the game? Oh God,
So
it hurts my heart.
out of a scale of 1 to 5, what are you rating Saw?
This is a very complex rating. As a movie, as an experience, I rate this a 3. It's really good and it gives a good twist, but had I known at the time when I saw it, when it came out, that it was going to have the cultural significance, I would have bumped it up, but I didn't. We've had the episode of Identity that I gave Identity a 5 out of 5. I mean, I fucking loved Identity. It had a twist, and that twist affected me more than the twist from Saw affected me. However, did I know that Saw was going to be the one that was going to change the shape of horror for over a decade? No, I didn't know that. I would have judged it and scored it higher if I did know. No, I would have given it a 3. As far as cultural significance and cultural influence, I mean, I don't think that anybody can question the fact that Saw is a fucking 5 out of 5. This is a movie that changed the direction of the entire. It created a subgenre with torture porn, but it fucking wheeled around and knocked on its fucking head the entire fucking horror genre when it came out. I mean, like, that is fucking insane. And if you can do that, James Wan, Lee Whannell, props. Love you guys. Come talk to us. We love you. Great job, but I can't score based on that because I'm scoring based on my experience with the film, which was the 3.5. It was, holy shit. What the fuck? But there was so much drag. I didn't give a fuck about the wife and the child. Never once. That was filler. This could have been a short film. It could have. But it wasn't. It was feature, and I don't give a fuck about your fucking wife, and I don't give a fuck about your fucking child. I didn't, and I don't to this day.
No, I'm right there with you, and I kind of agree in a way. Like, I don't think that the wife and the child are necessarily like the negative thing. I think that that is a good motivation for our character, but you're right. I think that we spent way too much time with them. I don't think that on rewatch that our pretend villain is that great. Like, you can kind of see that coming a mile away. On first watch, it's fantastic, but it doesn't hold up to subsequent rewatches. I do think that this is iconic. I think that it's important. This is an important film, is what I'll say. But as you know how I grade, Gabby, I grade on enjoyability, and we both said that this is not our favorite franchise in horror history. So I'm right there with you. It is a 3.5 out of 5 for me, and it is mostly that fucking amazing ending to this film that really catapults it up the watch list. So 3.5 out of 5 for me. I'm right there with you. And that is it for us tonight. We have survived Saw. We have made it through the traps. So that is it for us tonight. So say good night, Gabby.
Good night, games.
Good night, and until next time, da-na-na, da-na-na.